second down and 10 here for the Rams at the 16-yard line on the left hash. Donnelly with the long green sleeves under the gold jersey sends him in motion with his right hand. Schienbein motions across the formation of the right. The pass underneath, caught at the 5. Touchdown! Kyle Morcat! The first touchdown of the season for the Rams on home turf. And then Morcat, exclamation point backflip. And the Rams have the lead once again.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan. Thanks to David Dubé and the Concord Group of Companies for getting on board. If you want some pizza this weekend, check out Pizza Hut here in Saskatchewan. Mark Greshner Photography. Check out his fine work at markgreshner.com. But if you want to look at my Facebook page, he took a couple of stunning photos that I've posted on my Facebook page of my son at a steel place here in Regina where he, oh man, he made Ethan look like a GQ model. That's outstanding work from Mark Greshner. Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville. Paul Riviere and his great family getting on board here, supporting football in the province as they are doing great work there in the seed industry in the Radville area. Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina. Get in the real estate game with the 3-time Grey Cup champ, 2-time winner with Montreal, 1 with the Riders, 306-502-5355. Corey Zadorozniak, very smart football fan, been a longtime Rider supporter, loves 9-man football too. He is running Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn for grain hauling, grain marketing, and crop insurance. Check him out. It's Corey Zadorozniak, at Double Z Ag Sales. Put that on the back of a jersey. SAS Selects Football and Zelko Stefanovic. All my sponsors got these long names. Zelko Stefanovic out there at the Yar Center in Moose Jaw building the stars of tomorrow today. And Nathan and Landon, two young go-getters running their business, fourth year of operation. Boys Next Door Window Cleaning. Check out their webpage at theboysnextdoor.ca. Okay, so last week, U Sports decided, despite the fact coaches wanted age amnesty for their players turning 25 on the other side of the pandemic, the U Sports board said, nope, they're not going to be allowed to play their fifth and final year. That caused outrage. Josiah Joseph of Calgary, one of the players leading the charge. There was a threats of legal action. And so it was determined by U Sports that they'd circle back, it looked like, and revisit the situation. So it's come to my attention reading Three Down Nation, great website there with Justin Duncan, the gang, that there's going to be a reversal. Well, I taped this interview with Dick White, the interim CEO and president, before the Three Down Nation report hit the webpage. I texted him just before I posted this podcast if he wanted to update the interview. He said that would be premature. So that is telling me that the decision has not been finalized yet, despite what we're hearing from that great website, Three Down Nation. So Dick White's interview here, talking about them revisiting their decision, but as of when I put this up, there's been no concrete decision on whether to scrap that controversial ruling. Here's Dick's comments. Whenever I call you, it seems, or most times I call you, you're on your deck checking out the birds. Is that calming for you, Dick?
Yeah, I kind of need that a little fresh air and look out at my nice backyard and the flowers and the odd bird going by and a squirrel here and there. Yeah, it gives me a chance to take a little deep breath that I need every now and then.
Are you an outdoorsy guy? Like, do you like to hunt and fish, hike? Do you like doing that stuff?
You know, I used to love to fish when I was with my dad when I was younger. That used to be a major part of our holidays. Hasn't done that kind of thing. Nope, not really a hunter, but I do love our summers here in Regina and being out of the deck in the backyard and enjoying a cup of coffee or a cold one every now and then.
Is it easier to be, first of all, favorite bird?
I don't know if I have a favorite bird. I kind of get a kick out of watching the Blue Jays eating the peanuts that I put out for them every now and then. But I don't know if I'm going to go with a favorite bird or not. Really,
it's the only Blue Jays you'll be watching this year. Maybe sadly, the way things are going in the sporting world. Well, Dick, you expected some rapid fire bullet questions right now. In my business, you soften the guy up before you punch him in the face, Dick.
That's absolutely. I've. Uh, Don't worry. I've done more media in the last couple of days than Justin Trudeau, I think.
Yeah, and a lot less ums and ahs. But I will tell you something, Mr. White. I've had a lot of people remark in my industry and listening to the podcast, at least here Growing the Game with Ballsy, they were really impressed that you stepped forward and answered the questions. And I'm like, well, why are you shocked? He did that as the athletic director. Let me ask you this one here at the U of R, I should say. Let me ask you this one. Is it easier or harder in this day and age to handle something like this during a pandemic? Now, hear me out here. You're the interim CEO and president. You're Regina-based. Is it easier to do it like over Zoom? Like, does that fit into your schedule better? Is it better for you to work this way, maybe from your deck dealing with this?
Well, and I spend time in my basement surrounded by all the stuff that makes me remember my time in university sports, so I like that as well. I don't know that there's an easy way. There's definitely some times that I wish I could jump in my car, jump on a plane, and sit down across the table with some people and have a good eyeball to eyeball chat. You know, Zoom accomplishes some of that, but it's not quite the same. But you know, in dealing with this, that literally is dealing across the country. Probably the conference call or a Zoom. The one thing that happens on conference calls and Zoom a little bit is I really find you really have to focus in. And there's even, I think, some research on this that actually it's a little bit more stressful, but you really do have to focus in on what people are saying. And the key in dealing with very difficult issues is not me talking, it's me listening. And so, you know, it's been fine dealing it that way. But as I said, I'm a person that really in really tough issues, I kind of like to sit down eyeball to eyeball and kind of work it out. But you have to make the best of where we are right now rather than wish it was some other way.
So I've been, I'm not going to hide from it. If you listen to the podcast, you know, if you know me, Ballsy, the name comes with it. I've been critical. I'm outspoken. I say what's on my mind. I'm an advocate of these athletes. So I had one guy come at me on Facebook saying, how can you attack Dick White and all this stuff? I said, I'm not attacking Dick White. I get along with Dick White. I respect Dick White and I do. But let me ask you this. You know, it comes with the territory, but when a board makes a decision, you become the face of that decision. How difficult has that been for you over the last week?
But you know, that's okay, Michael. Like I own it. I own it absolutely, and I am the spokesperson on behalf of the board, and I fully appreciate and understand and I have great respect for the people on the board and the decision that was made. I also have, I'm a bit of the bridge as well. I'm also want to be the connection to the membership. So being able to understand the board decision and talk about it, but also be able to listen to what our members are saying and our committees. That's basically what I've been doing the last week and a half. Met with our, circled back, met with their committees, see what they're thinking, provide them with the information we had at the board. So it's actually been a good week and as you said, it comes with the territory. You can't just be the guy that hands out the Vanier Cup and then doesn't have to do any of the tough stuff. Yeah. So, that's all okay.
Yeah.
It's just fine.
So, Dick, you said when the decision came down, you told your board members, we're going to get killed on this one. It looks like, judging by the stories I'm seeing, you guys have kind of circled back, as you alluded to, and you're revisiting this. Why are you revisiting it, and what does that entail?
Well, I very much put together a plan that I said that I was going to go back, and talk to the relevant membership committees, and that includes our eligibility committee, which of course this is an eligibility rule, so they are important in the mix. I went back to our management advisory committee, which is representative across the country of the conference executive directors and athletic directors from across the country. It's a 10-person committee and really is advisory to the CEO. I also yesterday met with the football technical committee, so I didn't want to shy away from meeting with that committee that really deals with kind of the between the lines technical issues of football, and met with them and wanted to see what they're thinking, wanted to see if the other information, the legal counsel, altered their thinking at all. And I also wanted to, as I say, be upfront with all these folks that there is a process. I can't guarantee that the board will revisit this. I will supply the board and especially the chair with the information and what I've heard over the last week and a half, as well as, you know, I've got a few letters and emails and lots of media contacts, so I think I have a bit of a feel for what the public thinking, but most important to me is what our members are thinking. I don't have to win the argument on Twitter or in these kind of conversations, but I very much have to represent our membership as well and carry that back to the board and see if there's a willingness on their part to have another look at this, given the additional information that I now have from, as I say, our various expert committees.
Okay, so Dick, I appreciate you being here, like I said. Can't stress that enough. I've talked to Chris Morris. I've talked on the record on this podcast. I've talked to other coaches, some players. And here's what I get. They want me to try to get inside the boardroom. You can't give me all the details, but it's a question I'm going to ask from, you know, what they've, through their statements and everything like this. There's an age cap on football, and we discussed this last time, and I'm not against the age cap on football for the stupid reasons we saw before, 31-year-olds against 18-year-olds and that type of stuff. But it's the only sport in youth sports that's age cap. Like, there, if we're talking safety and health, and this is what they say, why isn't wrestling cap? Why isn't hockey cap? This is the only sport that's cap. So when we get into kind of a legalese thing and people may be challenging it, that's something in court that will be brought up by their lawyers. Like, why is this the only sport that's capped if we're talking safety? I would imagine that's something that's brought up in your various meetings behind closed doors.
Well, it is, but you know, it was the football schools that brought this sport forward for the sport of football. Mm-hmm. Actually, I went back to 2013, one of the AGMs where this was being considered, and actually there was a proposal by the eligibility committee to review an age cap in all sports of some sort. The other sports didn't want it. Football wanted it. This was not something imposed on football. Mm. It was the football schools working with their coaches, the athletic director working with their coaches to bring forward the concept of an age cap. So we have many rules within U Sports that are similar across all the sports we have, which I think is around 19 of them or so. We have, in other cases, we have sports that are given the privilege to have different rules, and football was one of them. Would this be challenged? I have no idea. To me, it was their privilege. It's something football mm-hmm. wanted. Why not in hockey? Because basically all the hockey players, although they're older, there's not that 31 to 18 age ranges you've talked about. All our hockey players are basically post-junior. Mm-hmm. So they're basically 21 to 26, kind of. But they're all in the same. So they're all in the same age group. Wrestling occasionally, I know, might have an older athlete, but you know what? If somebody brought the issue to the table, I know it's been talked about even in basketball, but basketball schools have chosen not to have an age cap.
Yeah.
So really, I don't think this is a situation undoubtedly that could not be predicted, that the football age cap came back and has put them at a disadvantage because of this unique situation with the pandemic. I can tell you that some of our conversations are down the road, we may have to look at something that doesn't have a age attached to it. It might be more experiential based, which is a little more like the time clock that the NCAA runs in. that the NCAA operates in. Now, I don't know much about the time clock, but it doesn't specify a specific age, but it still tries to keep the athletes in a similar age to each other, or a similar experiential mm-hmm. component. But you know, even in the NCAA, they'll have the odd player. They might have a 27-year-old kicker that, you know, perhaps went on a mission out of high school,
right.
is a couple of years older. So it's always good, no matter what you do, to take some opportunity to review. Is it the right thing? And in that case, what we're looking at is there has been exposed here a vulnerability with having an age number attached. And that may be something long term. That's not what we got to deal with right now over the next few weeks. But long term, we may have to look at that, which will protect us a little more from legal human rights challenges that could come up. They haven't come up in the last 10 years.
Yeah,
you know, that's the interesting part. Is any time in that last, well, really seven, I suppose, but in the last 7 years. It could have been challenged. You could have been a 28-year-old MBA student that wants to participate, and you go, look, I'm a full-time student at the university. I'm an extremely capable athlete. I want to play. I want to have the chance to play. Make them cut me if they want to, but I want a chance to play, and I deserve that right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That could have happened any time. So I understand. Understand that that's a possibility and a risk. How big a risk is it? Well, right now, I think the risk has been heightened because that is unquestionably one of the angles that people may go after us about. So we do have to have a look at how we're going to operate this long term. Bit of a long explanation for you, Balzi.
Well,
but
I'll tell you what,
there are some things. There are. This has brought up a lot of things that we do need to address.
Can't fault you for that, my friend. There's no template. There's no handbook for this. But I hear this a lot from people. Don't waste a crisis. And you're not. You're using it to evaluate and get better. And I think if you don't get better in something like this, then you've missed a glorious opportunity. So I can appreciate that. Last question, Mr. White. When do we hope to have, like, when are you hoping to kind of, you know, you're going back now, circling around. When would you like to tie this thing up in a bow and say, okay, this is where we're at. This is a final decision.
Well, to be honest, it's not something I have 100% control over, but I'm going to give myself a broad range before the end of the month, because on August 4, I'm going up to Wauskasoo on holiday. So how's that? You know, that's not maybe a very principled way to approach this. But I tell you what, Balzi, I've learned my lesson that I've said to other people, everything that I've ever got myself in trouble with is usually because I'm impatient. In this case here, we should have put a pause on it after we got the legal opinion and circled back to some folks, and there was a little impatience there because we were getting a lot of pressure around
mm-hmm.
the country. You know, we need a decision on these guys that are 25. We need a decision. Come on. Let's go. What's going on? We needed to shut the door on that. We needed to slow down a bit, and we didn't. And I've said on everything, I own that. But unfortunately, we got a legal opinion on a Thursday. We had a board meeting planned for the Friday. We plowed ahead. There's sometimes you just got to say, hold it a minute. I need a little more time. That's more important than you know, the coaches and the athletes that are in all the athletic directors' offices across the country saying, hey, am I going to be able to play next year or not? Like, what's going on? And being an athletic director, I understood those people standing at your door needing an answer from somebody else. So my effort to try and satisfy that urgent kind of a request is something that live and learn. I don't care how old I get. I keep learning every day. So we're gonna get the next part of this saga. I hope we can get it right, whatever that may be. As I say, the decision doesn't rest solely with my office, but I can perhaps help create that bridge that I believe is my responsibility between the membership and the board.
All right, man. Thanks. I appreciate your answers. Enjoy the time on the deck. And yeah, I can't wait to get this done so you can get to bird watching in Waskasoo.
Absolutely, Ballsy. Thanks a lot.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.